We want to welcome each one here again today on this Father's Day. If you'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 8, will be our text today about a faithful servant and his faithful Lord. This is the last book the Apostle Paul would write chronologically. He's in Rome awaiting execution. And he writes these words to encourage Timothy and also to encourage us also, I think, and tell Timothy what is happening in that time period back then, also time period today for us. He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, or henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who have loved his appearing. In that passage, it has the word you used and they. But Paul here is in Rome. He's not going to get out. He's going to die. Because he was a Roman citizen, he would not be crucified. He'd be beheaded. And his aim here is to encourage Timothy in his work for the Lord, because Paul knew he wouldn't be around to help him anymore. And he tries to encourage Timothy and tell him that Paul himself was very faithful to the Lord and encourages Timothy to stand fast in his faith. It reminds him that we serve a God who's both faithful to us. We know in life we tell our families that I'll be there for you. I think we mean that, but sometimes we don't do that. We make resolutions. The first of the year, we keep them longer. On some of us, keep longer than others, but we don't keep them too long. But we know that God's always there for us. So I want to break down this passage a little bit, make some comments and application. Verses 1 through 5 tell about a charge that Paul makes to Timothy. That word charge is a military term. He knows that it's not just a suggestion, but a command. It's based on, as a soldier in real life, he follows orders of his superior officers, and they have the authority to back it up. So we have the authority of the Father and the Son to help us back things up in our lives. And we have one who keeps his promises. And this here kind of confirms that Christ is coming again there in that first verse. It's done down further down also, too. But he charges him before God and Lord Jesus that he does this. And in verse 2, it talks about preaching the word. You know, that's the way we get things done these days. All through history, people have preached the word. They taught the word. And I think we have a possibility to know the word of God. We also have a possibility to believe that what people tell us up here is true. Now, you can hear a man from the pulpit, a class, on radio or TV, and we must continue in the Word of God. Look back maybe a page on your Bibles into 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, Paul says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So he's telling Timothy that he needs to continue in the Word of God. The verse we didn't read before that, verses maybe 13 and 14, tell about Timothy's background. His mother was Jewish, his father was a Greek. He had been taught about the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament, from his grandmother and his mother, who are mentioned in other places, a woman named Lois, a woman named Eunice. And they told him about what the Word of God said, they probably lived the Word of God in front of him. I think this morning we had Brother Table talk about how fathers are to live their lives before their children and to encourage them to stay true to the Word of God. Timothy was told to be ready at all times to share this Word of God. He'd be faithful wherever he was. Now we all know that, like we say, in the political realm, you may have somebody run for maybe running for mayor of this city here, or county judge, and or higher up places. They may go to a certain constituency and promise something and go over here and promise the opposite thing. They don't tell the truth all the time or sometimes do it differently. So it's like here in the spiritual realm, we're not to do that. We're to be faithful wherever we go. Paul didn't go to Colossae and preach one thing, go to Ephesus, preach one thing, go to different Corinth, but he shared the Word of God wherever he was. And it says here in that second verse that has four words, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience instruction. Now we like the part about exhorting sometimes. We want to hear the Word of God exhorted most of the time. We want to be instructed in God's Word. We want to learn about what God has to say. We sometimes don't like those words like rebuke, reprove, but the Word of God does that to us. The Word of God will speak to us in all things, but when we're not following Him, we can look in the Word of God and see about that. We have an urgency to preach the Word of God there in verse 3, the urgency. Now, I think we have sometimes have the idea that the early church was without problems, being so near to Jesus that they didn't have the problem we have today. But we know that as long as you have human beings, and as long as there's a devil around, there's going to be problems in all ages. But he says the time will come. It already came, really, and it's still here today. We go around and we see people are not following God. We see cults out there who are going against what God teaches. Many cults out there don't believe that Christ is God. In the Philippines, there's the biggest cult over there. It's called Iglesia Ni Cristo, which means Church of Christ. But that cult doesn't believe that Christ is God. I was on a mission trip down in the Caribbean recently, and we saw some of the cults down there. And we were told when we went out to do visitation in neighborhoods not to wear a white shirt and a tie because they think that we were either Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses. And we didn't want to do that. But the point I'm trying to make is that we need to know the Word of God. We need to know what the Word of God teaches. We need to be a people who follow the Word of God all the time, not just when it's convenient. The Lord said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It says there in that passage that people are going to find people who will teach what they want to hear. They don't hear it here, they'll go somewhere else. And it says that word itching ears, I heard one fellow say, called them ear ticklers, that people are out there not teaching the Word of God. It says the word accumulate is used of these people here, our word there, accumulate or keep up for themselves, teachers. And then it says in verse 4, they're going to turn away from the truth. The Word of God's been true ever since it's written. And because Paul had said in that third chapter, all Scripture, not just the ones that we like. And sometimes we would like to pick and choose the ones we're going to follow. Many people would like for you to tell them what they need to believe or what's the minimum that I can do in Christian service and still make it, we might say. But we're to base our beliefs on the Bible, not on fables. We had in Sunday school, Mike taught about how the Pharisees relied on traditions. The law said do certain things, and they were to do that. But I think the Jewish leaders added a lot to the law. The law said don't work on the Sabbath. And they even said, well, they talked about how many steps you can take on the Sabbath or what you can do like that. And we do today also. We have traditions that are not necessarily wrong in themselves, but if we put them, elevate them above the Word of God. Verse 5 has the word being watchful. Some may say sober. But sober here means being watchful. We must know the Word of God and why we believe it. Like I mentioned last Sunday about reading in the old issue of the Word and Work May of 1956. That is the issue after the death of R.H. Bull, a longtime editor. And there were many people in that issue who were telling about recollections of the man, how he had dealt in their lives, and one fellow who's still living, the San Juan, Kenneth East, still living out of Louisiana. He talks about, if you remember Brother Bull saying to him that no scripture is truly yours until you find it for yourself in the Word of God. Now, I think we need to believe that the man up here teaching is telling us the truth. We need to be willing to follow what the Word of God says to look in here. The people in Acts 17, the Bereans, were commended not because they took everything Paul said, hook, line, and sinker. They were commended because they went back and searched the Word of God to see whether those words were true. So I said if the inspired apostle didn't mind being checked up on, a preacher, a teacher, elder, deacon, special teacher, missionary, shouldn't mind either. So we must know the importance of Bible study. Fulfill your ministry there, he says. We must know how to confront error when we see it. So if you know what the Word of God says, and somebody's teaching or in person on the radio or TV, and you hear something that's not true, you can know that. Do the work of evangelists there, it says there in that fifth verse also. Faithfully preach and teach. Great Commission tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, I think we think many times that means to go over to a foreign field somewhere. But when it says world, it means wherever your sphere of influence is. There are needs for people to go all over the world. We know people have gone all over the world. Nick's father, George, went with Brother Buddy Clark to the Philippines many times. And other men that went to the Philippines. Steve and I went last year. And we may go again this year. We're not sure yet. But the gospel is needed all over the world, not just here. But your sphere of influence might be in your family. It might be in your school. It might be in your job. It may be in your church building, on your pew. Somebody might need the Lord, and we can be there to help them find the Lord. So wherever we are, we're to be faithful to the Word of God. Verses 6 through 8 of this passage, the Apostle Paul gives what people are called the life's will and testament. People make out wills down here. Most people here probably have a will, telling how maybe you want your, wherever you're committing life, how to be distributed to your loved ones after your passing, or maybe who gets what, like that, and things like that there. But here, this here, Paul tells there in verse 6 that he realizes that he's not going to be around much longer. Back in Acts 28, he was in prison there also, and apparently he got out of prison there because there's things that happen in the epistles you cannot fit into Acts. But anyway, here he's in Rome. Nero's the emperor. He's not going to get out. He's going to be beheaded, not crucified. He tells us his time is short there. You would think that Paul would be bitter. We have a passage, not going to turn there, in the Corinthian letter, I think in the one of the letters there, Paul talks about many things he went through as a Christian. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten, left for dead, stoned. People thought he was dead there at Lystra. And had many things on his mind. So if anybody would be bitter, be Paul, but he wasn't that way. He says that he's not that way. He serves the Lord who has been faithful, as he was faithful there in that seventh verse. But he talks about a faithful Lord. He says, I fought a good fight. He knew that he was in a battle. Satan is out there. A book that Hal Lindsey wrote many years ago was called Satan's Alive and Well on Planet Earth. He's out there alive and well. He's out there working overtime to try to rob people of their salvation. And we need to be faithful to God. He talks about finishing the race, or finishing the course, depending on what version you've got there in verse number 7. We all have a race and a course to follow. Paul is basically preaching to the Gentiles. Now, he preached everybody he came in contact with. Peter and John and them went basically to the Jews, although they did, when they came in contact with Gentiles, did teach them. So each was in a place in the Lord's kingdom. We talk about doing things for God. We talk about maybe with that board there, I think I mentioned last Sunday, and that board there, we might say, what can you do for the Lord? We might say, be a preacher, be a missionary, be a teacher. Things like that there, they're great. But Like I mentioned that, it says to give a cup of cold water in my name. That would not probably be in our top 10 list. But the Lord said it was his list. And we can be there for each other. The main point is be there for somebody. Talk about and it says we finished the race there. Paul talked about a crown back in the 1 Corinthians 9, I won't turn there, but 9:24-27, about an imperishable crown. A crown that was given for those who were in the race, who were in the fight for faith. He said, I've kept the faith there in verse 8 also. Verse 7, in Jude 3, it said, to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Jude told us to contend for the faith. The faith there, talking about in one level, the faith is the complete Word of God. We take the Word of God, knowing that we have the complete Word of God. People in Paul's day did not have that. When Paul was preaching, there were some of the epistles were out. I think some of Paul's early letters were available to other congregations. But we have the whole counsel of God, the whole Word of God. We're to teach the whole Word of God. Paul said in one place that he did not fail to teach the whole counsel of God wherever he went. So we must be people in teaching the whole Word of God, not just the ones that we agree with or what people say we should agree with. So keeping the faith is very important. And then a result of the life lived for Christ is there in that 8th verse. Finally, or henceforth in the King James, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to all, not only to, but to all those who have loved his appearing. The NIV says who have longed for his appearing. This is a crown given to every faithful Christian can get that. I think the only crown mentioned in the New Testament that's not for everyone is a crown given for elders there in 1 Peter's letters. But this crown is given to us because of how we lived our life in anticipation of the return of Jesus. It's based on that. We don't know when he's coming back, but we know that he is coming back, and we must live our lives in that expectation. Who gives the crown? Says the faithful judge, who is Jesus. Paul has seen many unfaithful judges in his life. We're told about the two Roman governors, Felix and Festus. One of them wanted Paul to bribe Paul to get out. But he didn't do that there. He stayed faithful. And it says here that this crown is given not just to, maybe we might say, the super Christian, might say the preacher, the elder, Sunday school teacher, deacon, missionary. It's given to everyone who has looked for the Lord's coming and lived their life in that expectation. Let's remember that we are saved by grace. You cannot ever work your way to heaven. You can't do enough works down here that will merit your salvation. Now, once you're in Christ, we need to be the best workers he has. But that grace must be appropriate. I've got a little story I read. A man named Steve Higginbotham was a preacher in Knoxville, Tennessee, at the Carnes congregation. He was preaching in South Green in Glasgow when this was given, this illustration. A person in his congregation had not been living for the Lord at all, not a Christian. The man's in his 50s, and he got word that he had inoperable cancer. Only a short time to live. Now, he decided to obey the gospel, and he was faithful in doing that. It wasn't just to get by and not have cancer anymore. He faithfully came to the Lord and was very faithful in his last 2 months while he was alive. So Steve tells about a story of being in a Bible class. A lady in the church was complaining about this man and saying that because of his past life, he did not deserve to go to heaven. And wanted Steve's thoughts on this. He said, yes, you're right. He did not deserve to go to heaven. In fact, neither you or I do also. But it seems that this sister was resenting the grace of God, he was saying. So he talked about the parable of the master hiring the workers different times of the day. We all know the story. Ten men came out at 7 a.m. He said, I'll pay you a certain amount of money if you work all day for me. Some came out at 10 a.m., 12 noon, and then the men came out at 4 p.m. got paid the same as the one earlier, and the other men didn't like that. The story here, those men resented the master's generosity. So I think sometimes in life we resent the grace of God also. The concluding remarks might be that this passage here is talking about being ready for the Lord's coming. But while we're waiting, be willing to do whatever the Lord has for you to do. There's work in the kingdom for all of us. Some can preach the word, it says there in verse 2. Now, all of us preach the word in our actions. We do it in vocalizing. Like Christ Himself said in the Sermon on the Mount, let your light so shine that people may see your good works and glorify your Heavenly Father. Now, we tell people also, but they see us. They want to see us if what we're telling them is very true. You can tell people about the Lord and their need for Him, but they need to see in your life that He's made a difference. We know today, as it was back in those days, people are not following God. People are following myths, fables, cults out there. So we need to be faithful to the Word of God so we can know what's being taught. Need to be ready at all times, ready to fight this fight, to be involved in it for the duration. The Word of God tells us that God has made provision for those who are outside of Christ. He tells us that you need to come to the Lord. He tells us that you need to believe in the Lord, believe who He is. Talk about facts to believe. That He is God. Jesus is God. He died for us. We had a table here, meditation. Christ died for us. We might have life. He tells us that we need to make a change in our lives if we need to make one. That's called repentance. We need to make confession in our lives. And then talk about being baptized into Christ. We know that it's only after that that people have their sins forgiven and the gift of the Holy Spirit given to us, the Holy Spirit who will enable us to live this Christian life. And then it talks about how I think we sometimes neglect people after that. They come forward, they're baptized into Christ, they're our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we need to be out there helping them grow as somebody helped us grow. To those of us who are in Christ, the Lord knows that we are human beings. We sometimes fall short of the glory of God. And we know that if we do fall short and do sin, if we're willing to ask God to forgive us, He says He'll do that. He won't hold it against us. So we're going to have a song here in a moment, and if you have any kind of need, we ask you to come to the stand, please.